Lord, I praise you for your goodness. Praise you for your love. Praise you for the blessings that come from above. Praise you for your greatness.
Let's stand and sing this little chorus. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Oh, shake, shake, shake. Shake. shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Oh, shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. One more time now. Shake, shake, shake. Oh, shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Oh, shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Oh, the devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. Devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. Oh yeah, devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. One more time. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles for just a few minutes, would you turn to Hebrews 11?
Hallelujah. Thank you for playing, sister.
Hallelujah. Shake the devil off. The scripture says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We're definitely not carrying him out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, if you would. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 7. We're going to begin there and read a couple of verses to you and just try to talk to your heart tonight. Is that all right?
Yes.
Amen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Praise God. Just want to talk to you for a couple minutes about God's long-suffering. God's long-suffering. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, shall we? God, we need you. We need you to touch our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to receive something from the Word of God tonight that will make us a people prepared for your name's sake and prepared for what's coming. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Praise God. I want to have you turn to Genesis chapter 6. I wanted to read these two verses because there's something about the long-suffering of God that sometimes we don't stop and think about. Have you ever seen a picture, whether it's online in this great social media world in which we live in today, where memes are just everything? So there's pictures everywhere. It's visualization everywhere, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, Pinterest, that's still alive, Twitter even. There are images everywhere. Have you ever seen an image where you looked at the image and it drew a response from you that said, what happened?
I mean, something in that, something went wrong. Something happened that caused you to say, what happened? Now, if when Noah and his family stepped off that ark on the mountains of Ararat, and you saw that bow in the sky, with the knowledge that there was a world before that, and you looked around for that world, you might have, would have thought, what happened? And what happened was the long-suffering of God. When we think of long-suffering, we think of forbearance, we think of patience, we think of holding back, we think of maybe getting away with something in a good sense because there's long-suffering. When we read scriptures that God is slow to anger, I think there are times, I'm not saying this is true, but maybe for me it's true, that there are times that I think that he'll never get angry. He's just slow to anger, but maybe never really gets there. It was the writer in the Word of the Lord, I believe it was Jeremiah, that said, "Don't destroy me in your long suffering." And when I read that, I had to step back for a moment and say, but I was like, what? I had to step back to it and say, but if he's long-suffering, there's a good chance you won't get destroyed. But that may not be true. In fact, it almost, to a degree, isn't true. We see that here in 1 Peter 3 and 20. But before I go any further, I just want to cease my thoughts and just read Genesis 6 to you. For time's sake, I just want to put something in your direction. In a world that we live in today, where, as it's already been expressed in writings and testimonies, and I thank God for all your testimonies. I thank God we can have that. And I thank God there are people that are praying and sensitive and not just wasting church time, which they're not. They're being edifying and they're being prayerful and they're being reaching. Some like to, don't like to have that anymore. Well, we're not one of those groups. If people need a lesson on how to testify, we'll gladly teach them, but we're not doing away with it. Genesis 6, in this world that we live in today, as I was saying, there's so much that we could be thinking about. There's so much that we could be concerned about. We've said this more than once or twice. You just pick an issue and there is one. We could sum it up by saying that the world is more corrupt than it has ever been. And we can't be surprised that there's more corruption. There's more corrupt people in the world. And it's all televised and marketed. And we have tools and technologies today to let us know about all of it. And we can be a people that is not only troubled and consumed by what's happening on the exterior of our lives, but we could be people that are consumed with what's happening within the four walls of where we live and what's going on in our world. But I tell you today, honestly, from the Word of God, there is something that you and I need to be more concerned about than all the concerns that are in the world today. Every single one of them. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same, I'm leaving this italic word out for a reason, the same mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Grieved him at his heart that he had made man that had become wicked and corrupt. For it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We read to you that the long suffering of God, which Peter testifies, we'll read in just a few minutes, is to us salvation. That the long suffering of God waited. God had said, I'm going to destroy man. But we read that the long suffering of God waited while the ark was preparing. The long suffering of God that was going to do something. He was just waiting on what he was going to do. The slap was coming. It was not going to not come. It was coming. So I like to put out to you two sides of the long suffering of God. The one side is long suffering towards Noah, giving Noah a chance to do what he had given Noah instruction to do. At the same time, the long-suffering of God was waiting for what he had purposed to do. That was going to happen. He was going to destroy the world. It was coming. No matter how slow to anger, it doesn't mean he wasn't angry. It just means he was slow to angry. It's kind of like a parent. I want to try to get into your mind the long suffering of God and just give you a picture of it in the right way. There are times when a parent will correct a child. They may not correct the child right away. There might be a stern look on their face as they're beholding something that they do not like that is prompting the need for long suffering. Long suffering is not, it's not going to happen. Long suffering is, there's a delay, there's a slowness to what is going to happen if that something doesn't change. Praise God. That the punishment, the correction will come. So I want you to see on God's behalf that he has made a decree within himself that I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to overthrow the earth. But while there is that anger and that wrath, for it is written in the word of God that not only is God not willing that any perish, but the scripture does teach Paul speaking to the Romans saying God willing to show his wrath. So we need to understand not only is he willing to give you space, but he's also willing to show his wrath. And we need to understand that one of the most important things that we could focus on in our lifetime is getting right with God, is believing and knowing that what God has promised will come to pass. Yes. Amen. And we do not need to allow ourselves to be detoured. As it was said here tonight, we do not need to allow ourselves to be distracted from the truth of God, that he that will come, and he will not tarry. It's inevitable. God will melt the earth with the fervent heat. That is not a fairy tale. It's not a fiction story. It's not some Hollywood storyline that somebody made up. What God has promised within himself is going to come to pass. No, your concern doesn't need to be the stock market, your next paycheck, what's happening inside the four walls of your house or the White House. Your concern needs to be, am I right with God? Am I living for God? Am I walking with God? Have I escaped the wrath that is to come? Amen. Am I unblameable? Am I holy? Am I worthy? Hallelujah. Glory. I don't want to mess this up. We were talking about the other night, weeds, and some time ago anyway, and the scripture says that if we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape? And we know with anything, especially a garden, that if we neglect the garden, the weeds will grow. And if we continue to neglect the thorns and the thistles and the briars and all the other stuff, we'll not only continue to grow, it will overtake and it will destroy everything else around it. If we neglect our salvation and we allow thorns and thistles to grow and we allow ourselves to forget the goodness of God and allow our lamps to go out and our oil to bleed out, amen. We're going to be in serious trouble. We're going to lose that with God. Let's focus here. I'm bringing you to Genesis 6 because there's something in this scripture that you can't expect the theologians to talk about it, but it's here. And I want to bring it out tonight because it's very much a part of this message, and it's part of what we're going to finish reading in just a moment in 2 Peter. But we read where God had given Noah a plan because Noah found grace, right? Verse 8, but Noah, I mean, listen to what it's saying. God said, I'm going to destroy everything, but Noah. I'm going to tear it up. I'm going to overthrow it with water. I mean, I'm going to bust it up. You can see some of these science shows where they've actually, in their study and analyzation of what took place in this great flood and the look of the earth, they could see just how drastic this overthrow really was, because God allowed himself to leave scars in the earth to say that something horrific took place. And when God overthrows, God overthrows. But Noah, make sure you're on the other end of that butt. He's going to melt the earth with the fervent heat. But you found grace in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. You are not on the wrong end of the long suffering of God. There is a wrong end. Praise the Lord. There is a wrong end. You just continue in your wickedness. There's going to be a wrong end of the long suffering of God. Child at home, continue doing the wrong thing. And mom and dad may not be acting right away, but there's long suffering going on, but there's a slap coming. Praise the Lord. You can avoid the slap by taking advantage of the long suffering. Or you can ignore it and suffer the consequences. We read that men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. I've always wondered why. Why in these 3 or 4 verses of Scripture is God pointing out the sons of God? Is God pointing out these mighty men, these men of renown? The scripture says that after Abel was killed, that God had given Eve another child called Enos, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. What happened to those generations of men that called upon the name of the Lord, that pleased God, that somehow with centuries passing, and these people were men of renown? That's what it's talking about. Listen to what the Word of God is saying here. It's sending a message to us that something happened to these sons of God. That something happened to these mighty men. These men that used to walk with God. These men that used to be men of renown. Don't read the scripture wrong. Don't believe all the foolishness that theologians take. The scripture's so simple. Yet people try to figure out all these philosophies. What's it talking about? Oh, it must talk about angels coming down. No. It's simply saying that the sons of God got corrupt. They turned aside. They stopped worshiping. They stopped being sons of God. They stopped being mighty men. They stopped being something that God could look at and say, oh, those are my people. Those are my kids. Those are people standing for my name and walking with me. Remember, Enoch walked with God. It was not for God took him. Enoch wasn't the only one. Praise the Lord. Let's love the Lord a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's a point here in these verses of Scripture that seem to indicate. See, the giants, stop thinking about Goliath for a minute. Because we can wonder about, who are those giants? The sons of God. Who are those mighty men of renown? The children of God. But something went wrong enough where God said, I'm going to destroy it all. Stop and think about that for a moment so that you can realize just how important the church really is. Don't become like these people. It seems to indicate something that somehow, possibly, that the saints worshiping in the earth and the saints lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting and the people standing for God and not being moved or swayed or falling away seems to stay the wrath of God. But when you start falling away, when you start giving up, when you start throwing in the towel, when you start being an idiot, and you start living your life with no oil, not trimming your lamps, when you start neglecting the gift of God, it could very well be rumbling the wrath of God. Who would be God? Who would God be more angry with? The children who are already walking in darkness or those who turn back to darkness? Yes. Doesn't the scripture teach us in Isaiah that hell has enlarged itself? Who is that written to? Church people? Yes, sir. Let me try that one more time. It was written to church people who are brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, who erased their existence, who reserved a place in heaven, and then they no longer had a place in hell. But people turning aside, now hell has enlarged itself because it has to make room for all the nincompoops who walked away from God. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Now, makes no difference to me tonight what theories people have concerning Genesis 6. It's plain as the nose in your face. The reason when you just ask God, when you try to, without too much carnal reasoning, think to yourself saying, now he put these verses in here for a reason. He's trying to make a statement. He's trying to make an implication that it was the departure of the sons of God that caused him to just say, it's over. Tonight, I don't have to try to scare anybody to serving God. What I am here to tell you tonight, one more time, is that what we have of God is just as real when you first found it. It's just as special as when you first found it. God has never lost his luster. He's never lost his shine. He's never lost his glory. He's never lost his majesty. The Holy Ghost has not lost his power, his authority, his might. The blood has never lost its ability to cleanse you from all the filthiness and uncleanliness. Oh, hallelujah. What God is saying, have you lost something? Have you lost that tenacity to worship? Have you lost that something that can drag your carcass, as tired as it is, to come to the house of God where God can see you worshiping and shouting and praising and leaping and giving him the glory anyhow? Praise him. Hallelujah. Where it could be that God could say, it's through tomorrow, this thing's done, but he sees you come to church and says, I'll wait another day. Hallelujah. You say, you're an idiot, Brother Chill. No, I'm not. I'm just talking about the long suffering of God. What might fuel the long suffering of God? The more long suffering he's got, the better chance you've got. And it could very well be that God sees his people are preparing. The long suffering of God waited while Noah was prepared. I'm not so sure he was hammering nails all that fast. Would you? I got people in my family, our families, your families, that we want converted and their sins blotted out. We want them on these church pews speaking with other tongues, Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized, learning how to be an overcomer, learning how to say, I'm living for God no matter what. Yes. Look, I don't care how many hiccups, habits, or addictions or anything else going on in your brain, bring that carcass to the house of God where things are preparing. And where there are not a people who are neglecting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. It's the evil servant that says in his heart, the Lord's delayed his coming. And God hasn't delayed nothing. Maybe you're full of delay, but God hasn't delayed nothing. He's got everything going just the way he knows it's going. And I'm not here toying, 2 Peter 3. I'm not here toying with the long-suffering of God. I'm not here to change Scripture. And again, I say with all respect that I have no care or concern what any theologian says when they try to overthink these verses of Scripture. No, the sons of God were this. No, they were that. Those people just need therapy. They do. They need therapy. They need to be an altar of repentance telling God they don't know nothing. They studied a lot of junk and they don't know nothing and they've got a degree from nothing. You'll learn more when you tell God with an honest heart, I don't know anything. I tried to study because I was sincere, but I don't know anything. Versus acting like you know something and God can't get through to you. Verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3. I hope I'm reaching somebody tonight. I feel strongly upon my heart. I'm just trying to tell somebody, look, get serious about this thing. God's serious enough. He sent his only son to shed blood. Get serious about this thing. Everything in the Word of God still on target. We can't change a lot of things in life, but we can certainly change our destiny by obeying God. And that's the most important thing. I don't care what your bank account looks like. I don't care what your health looks like. Already been testified here tonight. God can do anything. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He don't want you dying lost. He doesn't want hell to have you. But there's something, Sister Melody sings the song, there's something about my praise he loves. And I'm just wondering tonight if I can just be allowed to imagine in my mind. I'm just wondering tonight if God's hearing so much of that praise that he loves that he's willing to extend his long suffering. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about it. But his long suffering, it doesn't mean he's without anger. It says he's long-suffering, right? Galatians 5, I believe is verse 23, fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. God is long-suffering, but it doesn't mean that that long-suffering is free of anger and wrath. It just means that there's patience and there's forbearance mixed in, but the anger's there. Back to the angry parent. The anger's there. But there's forbearance mingled. And it could very well be your praise. And I know this sounds strange to some people because they got God all figured out. Oh, he knows the exact day, the exact hour. He's going to have me. And they got it so scientifically worked out. But what if he don't? What if he's hid it from himself? Doesn't the scripture say that he'll remember your sins and your iniquities no more? If he can give himself amnesia over your past and wipe it away so that he does not know it anymore, as far as it was read the other night, as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that right? Well, why wouldn't God do the same to his own, I'm going to end this? Again, back to Noah building the boat. He didn't tell Noah, you got 60 days. It's recorded that Noah was 500 years old, at least this is the only date on his age, and he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then the Lord spoke to him and gave him the instructions on building the ark. He was 600 when he went in the ark. I'm just making a point here tonight. Don't overthink this thing. I have no problem. He was a preacher of righteousness, the scriptures calls Noah. By doing what he did, he condemned the world. And realistically, it was an ark that he prepared to save himself and those that hurt him. That's what Paul told Timothy, right? Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Attend to the doctrine which will save you and those that hear you. Ching. Rain's coming. I don't see that crusty church attitude. Ching, 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 ching. Rain's coming. You're going to be lost. No. The long-suffering of God waited. I'm just I'm finishing right now. Well, you came to church, so I'm not going to try to. You're here because you wanted to be here. Why am I apologizing? Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Amen. Put some air on for just another minute, Brother Art, before I fall over. Praise God. I feel like I'm in the sun again. But think about the long-suffering of God, how attached it just might be to your worship. That just blows my brain, because I can't fathom that. Because we've so detached ourselves from God, we just feel like this, it's all on some mechanical time clock, that you couldn't possibly stay the wrath of God no more than Joshua could cause the sun to stand still. No? Wasn't that said here tonight? Yeah. You don't think that when there's a need, God will stop the show simply because you need something to happen? Every one of us in this facility tonight have watched God in one way or another alter life on our behalf. Don't tell me he won't alter his own. Simply because you pray, God, give them one more chance. Give me time to reach for them. And God says, granted. Long suffering of God kicked in right now. Go after them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. However, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is what God says is going to happen, just like he told Noah, the rain's coming. Please, the fire's coming. Make sure you're not on the wrong side of it. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, I hope you're still looking for it. I hope the world hasn't beaten it out of you. Amen. I hope you're not so down and out, so discouraged and so distraught that you don't have a pair of binoculars that has your eyes set for that which is to come. Because you're another voice that could fuel the long suffering of God. And if the voices go out, there it goes. It's done. God does not need to look upon the earth and see a blackout. Thank you, Jesus. Does the scripture teach us we shine as lights in the earth? Don't let the Lord see a blackout. Let's all stand. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is what's important to us. If you had nothing, if you got nothing else out of what I said here tonight, it's the Lord. Every one of us are here tonight, not by accident. The Lord wanted you here. And you are here because you wanted to be here. And God toyed with your want to. And your want to said, I'll add a day to my number. Hallelujah. If it means erasing your reservation from hell, God might just add one day to his number. Say, yeah, it would have been that, but I'll push it out. It will come as a thief in the night. It will come. Wherefore, seeing that you look for such things, and make sure you can look. I'm just going to say this one more time. Make sure you're looking for these things. No matter what you're going through, how bad it is, try your very best to get your carcass on your face before God and cry out to God like Brother Rick was talking about tonight. Call upon the name of Jesus until Jesus answers, until the fire falls, until the presence of God engulfs your prayer. You've got to believe that it will engulf your prayer. And the presence of God, the supernatural presence of God, will descend upon your prayer. Hallelujah. And help you look through this veil of tears that is so cloudy and so drabby and so melancholy sometimes that it cannot see that which is yet to come. And God will take you beyond yourself and show you. Go to the prayer room with all the politics on your brain because it's so much of a concern. God just might say, you get out of the prayer room, and when you come back, you have all that off your brain. Yeah, but I don't care about the buts. There's a but you need to be worried about, and you need to be on the right side of that but. But Noah found grace. That's the side I want you on. Not that, but that day will come and catch you as a thief, unaware, with no oil. Because all that's on your brain is all the chaos in the world. And when's the Antichrist coming? And when's this happen? When's that? I get so sick and tired of hearing all this stupidity. Where's the concern about one more soul? Could we have a song here tonight as we close, if that's possible? I don't want to interrupt anybody's prayer. We're going to pray for a minute first, but please hear this. An account that the long suffering of God is salvation. Amen. That you, when you get there, you're going to be rejoicing. Why? Because you took advantage in the right way of the long suffering of God. Because you understood that mingled with that long suffering was a vengeant God who was going to do what he said. But you saw it coming, and you wised up, and you said, I don't think I want what I see mixed in there. I think I'll take advantage of the forbearance, and I'll go to the altar of repentance. Praise God, and I'll turn from my wicked ways so that that hammer doesn't come down upon me and crush me and grind me. I'll fall upon him and be broken. That way he can fix me instead. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's love him. Go ahead. Love him. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, God, they need the Holy Ghost. They need what we've got. Help us reach them. 1 ounce of love at a time. Help us reach them. And help everybody that's on the sound of this voice here tonight to start taking this thing serious. Praise God. If you've rusted up, pour some oil in those joints like the tin man and get those joints moving again. Get that worship moving again. Praise God. He inhabits the praise. Long suffering inhabits praise. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time. Let's love him. Hallelujah. 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 Well, they come to sing one more time. Here's how you live for Jesus. It's what we all had to do. Hallelujah. We just take it all to Jesus, all the baggage, everything we've got. That's why the scripture says, come to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. He didn't say, well, when I get it all worked out, I'll show up. No, you missed what he just said. He said, come weak and heavy laden. Yeah, but preacher, no, you didn't hear what I said, so I'm going to try it one more time in the English language. He said, are you broken? Come to me. Are you hopeless? Are you frustrated? Are you ailed by your own ailments? Are you just vexed by stuff you can't beat? Come to me. Amen. Every time the church is open, show up. An opportunity to pray and call upon God. Open that book. To call on God when you're at home. Do it. Amen. Do it. Amen. Do it. Because fire is coming. He don't want you to be a part of that. Do it while it is called today. There'll be a time when today will be no more, as he did for Noah when he closed the door. When the Lord shut them in, it was done. One more time. He's allowed us to come together one more time. Let's close with this song and pray. I can't make anybody do anything, but I certainly can try to reach for you and provoke you. And I hope you don't think I'm yelling at you, screaming at you, but let me tell you, I do feel that way, Sister Gloria. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he can save anybody. Come to him as the old song says, just as you are. You won't leave like you came, but you can certainly come like you are. Amen. One more time.
One more time. He allowed us to come. come together one more time. One more time. One more time. He allowed us to come together one more time. He allowed us to come together one more time. One more time. One more time. He allowed us to come together one more time. One more time, he allowed us to come together. One more time, one more time, one more time, he allowed us to come together. One more time. One more time, he allowed us to come together. One more time,
one more time,
one more time, one more time. He allowed us to come together. One more time, one more time. Time he allowed us to come together one more time. He allowed us to come together one more time.